Superhuman Radio will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible, but now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products, whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products. You'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
It's Monday, January 25th of 2016, as the year gets off to a great start here at the Superhuman Nation. We have lots of great things to talk about, like today's show, when we are going to be discussing how bicarbonate concentrations and acid-base status affect mortality and healthy aging. That's going to be a really interesting discussion. Then we're going to change it up at the top of the second hour, and we're going to talk about, is there a connection between your age at menopause and later depression? Some really, really interesting research being published right now that we'll get a lot out of. Just want to remind everybody a couple things. First of all, All American Pharmaceutical is a huge underwriter of Superhuman Radio. Their product line is All American EFX Sports. You can learn more about that by going to superhumanradio.com. Show them some love. Check them out there, of course. And sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter is going to be going out every single week, and it's going to be full of lots of great articles and blogs that most people meander through when they get to our website. We're going to be sending it to people so that they don't even have to go to the website in most cases, and they'll be able to read the breaking research that we that's important to the mission of this show. So bottom of the superhumanradio.com page on the right-hand side, you'll be able to sign up for the newsletter, and we will never spam you and never offer your contact information to anybody else. So check that out. So my first guest is Dr. Kalani Raphael. How you doing, Dr. Raphael?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Carl.
It's my pleasure. And this is really an interesting discussion. You know, we've been talking about indirectly and directly about pH of the body for close to 11 years now. And there's a lot of schools of thought on this, and some people think that it's nonsense, and some people think that it plays a very, very role. It's obviously diet, influenced by diet. What were you trying to answer with this research? What questions led up to this research here?
Well, I guess stepping back, you know, I'm a kidney specialist, and, you know, one of the main jobs of the kidney is to regulate the body's pH levels in conjunction with the lungs. So, you know, the kidneys, one of the main jobs of the kidney is to get rid of excess acid. And in people who have kidney disease, they accumulate acid, and that leads to clinically a low bicarbonate level in the blood. And some of the work that I've done in the past, and other folks have done similar work, have looked at how these bicarbonate levels associate with poor outcomes in people with kidney disease. And it's been shown that people with low bicarbonate levels, which really means high acid levels, that they have higher risks of progression of their kidney disease, as well as a higher risk of death. So we knew this in people with kidney disease, but much less was known in generally healthy people.
Right.
And so I wanted to look at the association between bicarbonate levels and outcomes in pretty healthy individuals, and to see if that, you know, could be a modifiable risk factor to improve longevity in people who are otherwise healthy.
Now, you're part of the Veterans Administration medical system, correct?
Correct. Yep. I'm a nephrologist at the VA here in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. Okay, great. And so obviously one of the wonderful, we hear a lot of stuff about the VA, and it's always bad when it's on the media, but what people don't know is some of the best research goes on at VA medical centers because they have a very, very large controllable population of potential subjects to follow. Almost on the longitudinal and scales of an epidemiological study. It's really an amazing thing that you have access to when you're involved with the VA system, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are millions of records out there in the VA system, and, you know, a lot of research is done using VA data. Now, in this study, though, I should mention that we did not use veteran data.
Okay, okay.
Yep.
And that's because, obviously, the veteran data that you would have access to would be mostly a sick population at best, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, the reason why we looked at this data was because this was a cohort called the Health ABC or Aging Body Composition Study. And this was a very well-designed study from two centers, one in Memphis and then the other in Pittsburgh. And they followed healthy people who were in their 70s at the beginning of the study for over 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the design of the study that drove this paper that was just published. How was the study designed, and what were you looking for?
So this is what we call a prospective observational study, which means that people signed up to be in this study, but there was really no intervention that was given, so they weren't given any, you know, advice on changing their blood pressure, taking any medications. They were just followed at routine visits throughout, you know, the course of 17 years. And so in this study, one of the very unique things about this study is that they measured what we call a blood gas from these participants. And the blood gas is important because blood gases allow us to measure your pH, your bicarbonate level, as well as your carbon dioxide level. And bicarbonate levels more or less tell you what's going on with the kidney side of things in terms of acid-base balance, and the carbon dioxide levels more or less tells you what's going on with the lungs in terms mm-hmm. of acid-base balance.
Right, right.
And this has really never been done, meaning getting a blood gas in a prospective study in relatively healthy people. We get blood gases all the time in people who are, you know, critically ill, like they're in the intensive care unit because they've had a bad pneumonia or something like that. And what we know is that in people with really severe acid-base abnormalities, that those people have a really low likelihood of leaving the hospital. Here in this study, these were generally healthy people who could walk, who could, you know, take care of themselves, who didn't have any life-threatening illnesses. And they had blood gases measured, which is very unusual for a prospective longitudinal study.
Okay.
So this is one of the key things about this study.
So
we looked at those levels of bicarbonate and then looked at their outcomes long term.
And this was 2,287 participants, right?
Right. The study enrolled over 3,000 people, but 2,287 of them had these blood gas measurements performed.
Now, did you just follow them and did you do, first of all, did you do just one baseline blood gas or did you do periodic throughout the length of the study?
There was one blood gas done at what we call the year three visit. So these people started the study in about 1997 to 1998. And then the design of the study was once those people hit the year three mark, then they would get these blood gas measurements. They were only done at that one visit. And I should mention that I didn't actually interview or interact with these patients. All of this data is from a database that's available
right
through the Health ABC website.
What other information was kept on these participants? Were there food diaries? Were there any type of lifestyle questions asked?
There were food diaries, and the importance about the food diaries, as you mentioned, is, you know, diet is a major determinant of your acid-base balance. And so we did look at their protein intake and how that might influence, you know, the associations that we found with bicarbonate and long-term outcomes. There's also tremendous amounts of data from this study. It included things like physical activity, bone density measurements, you know, underlying comorbidities like diabetes, any heart disease, intensive breathing tests to look at lung function. It's just a tremendous resource.
Okay, so what were the things, when you started looking at this, what jumped out at you? What were some of the emerging trends that you saw in the research?
Well, I guess the first thing was that, you know, these were pretty healthy people. And what we found was that about 10% of what we would consider, I think, clinically to be a healthy older person had low bicarbonate levels. And that to me was a little bit surprising because, you know, pH is such an important thing to normal cellular function that it was a little bit surprising to see that the serum bicarbonate level was a little bit low. Now that means though that that doesn't necessarily mean that the pH level was out of range. And the reason why pH isn't out of range is because the lungs work with the kidneys to keep the pH normal. So to step back a little bit, you know, pH, a normal pH in a person should be about 7.40. And that's largely composed of what the level of bicarbonate is, which can be considered as a base or an alkali, as well as the carbon dioxide, which is a measure of acid content.
Okay.
And so let's take, for example, somebody who, you know, maybe has an anxiety attack, something like that. What that will tend to do is cause someone to hyperventilate. And when you hyperventilate, it causes your carbon dioxide levels to go down, which is an acid. So in, if your carbon dioxide levels go down, your acid content goes down, the amount of bicarbonate will stay about the same unless it changes. And so you would have excess bicarbonate or excess base, and that would cause your pH to go up.
Mm-hmm.
But what the kidneys do over a period of time is it lowers the bicarbonate down into a range that will keep the pH normal. So the point of all of this is to say that even though these people had low bicarbonate levels, their pH was actually normal because of what we call compensation.
Right, right.
So
the bicarbonate almost acts as a ballast, and the kidneys regulate its levels in order to achieve a homeostatic pH, to keep pH where it belongs all the time. The pH is tightly regulated by the body, and this is one of the mechanisms, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So the kidneys and lungs work together in order to keep the very important part, which is pH, normal.
Okay. All right. So, what are you looking for? Are you looking specifically for kidney function? Are you looking for kidneys that don't regulate bicarbonate properly? Or are you looking for just baseline low levels that don't respond to a challenge where pH needs to be regulated?
Well, that's a little bit tricky to determine from this study, because all we were really looking at was how do these levels of bicarbonate correlate with long-term outcomes.
Okay.
The tricky part about this is that we're not really sure why the bicarbonate levels are low on these individuals. And that's sort of the next step here, is to kind of figure out why would an otherwise healthy-appearing older person have a low bicarbonate level. It could be because they have this sort of hyperventilation problem that I was talking about.
Right.
Or it could be that they're retaining acid. And if I had to pick one or the other, I would actually guess that it's more of an acid retention problem.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break and let's pick it up in that area when we come back, because I have some questions specifically about electrolyte levels and also insulin resistance and how this plays into this. This is a very, very interesting discussion. And we'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors. A naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms. So sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking right now with Dr. Kalani Raphael. He's with the VA Medical Center in Salt Lake City, Utah, about bicarbonate concentrations and their predictor of mortality in a healthy aging population. So, first of all, were you able to determine any type of corollary linkage between the insulin-resistant status of these individuals and their bicarbonate levels?
We didn't look at that in this study, but other studies have shown that lower bicarbonate levels do associate with other hallmarks of insulin resistance in other studies, such as in the NHANES study, which is a cohort of over 20,000 people, if I'm remembering correctly, of people from the United States who are sampled to represent the population of the U.S. And in that study, lower bicarbonate levels did associate with insulin resistance.
The reason I ask that is because insulin, hyperinsulinemia of any type, whether a person finds themselves not able to manage their blood sugar levels and starting to present with the onset of type 2 diabetes or prediabetes, or if their pancreas is functioning perfectly and they're pumping out just gobs and gobs of insulin, they're able to manage their blood sugar levels almost in a covert diabetic. We know that high insulin levels have the ability to attenuate minerals, electrolytes more specifically, and their intra and extracellular concentrations. And I'm wondering if the bicarbonate is just evidence of being part of that milieu of electrolytes that seem to find themselves in terrible imbalances in a person who is starting to produce way too much insulin.
Well, I think the direction of that relationship would possibly be that the low bicarbonate levels signify an acidotic state, something we call metabolic acidosis.
Right.
And that could be causing the cells that respond to insulin to have an impaired response to insulin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure about that, but that would be the way that I would envision this pathway to go. Now, in terms of this study, you know, the insulin resistance is important because, you know, it increases cardiovascular risk. And we did look at how the association of bicarbonate levels associated with cardiovascular risk, meaning mortality, how that interplay worked. And we really didn't find a very strong association with bicarbonate levels and a higher risk of cardiovascular death. Now, that could be because our sample size was not large enough to detect enough cardiovascular deaths, but that was something that we didn't observe. And quite frankly, I was expecting to see that lower bicarbonate levels might increase cardiovascular risk through that pathway that you talk about, the insulin resistance.
Well, and your perspective on it actually makes perfect sense, because if we look at the Pima Indian study out of Arizona, we know that we had a genetically predisposed population to insulin resistance, but when they were supplemented with magnesium, which they had ultra low magnesium status, that corrected the insulin resistance. So this that constant yin and yang of electrolytes and insulin, which one kind of goes wrong first, seems to be more of a debate. But clearly, when you get both of them fixed, so to speak, you know, you see a healthy individual kind of start to emerge from that. So I agree with you and your perspective. So, was this an all-cause mortality type of a thing? Did you just look for how many people had low bicarbonate status and how many people just weren't with us at the end of the study? Or did you actually start to segregate some of the reasons for mortality?
We only really looked at cardiovascular mortality and non-cardiovascular mortality as sort of broad strokes into why people could have died. But the main analysis that we looked at was all-cause mortality.
Right.
And that showed a 24-25% higher risk of death over a median follow-up period of about 10 to 12 years in folks. So our main analysis was all-cause mortality, and then we subdivided it into cardiovascular and non-cardiovascular mortality. And it was actually a little bit higher for non-cardiovascular mortality, but mm-hmm. not quite what we would call statistically significant. I think just because our sample size had dwindled down when we started to break them up by those different causes. I think it would be really interesting to look at some of those other potential causes, like, you know, maybe cancer or infection,
right,
because there's been some suggestion that low bicarbonate levels could predispose people to, you know, malignancies, or if they have an underlying malignancy, then that might increase their risk of death if they also have a low bicarbonate level. But I just don't think that we had enough mortality events from those different causes to really look at anything meaningfully.
Yeah, and I was curious about the cancer linkage, because there's also schools of thought on bodies that tend to find themselves struggling to maintain pH from being too acidic versus too alkali, and There's a lot of discussion within some camps that cancer may thrive in a body that seems to always be struggling to try to find the middle ground from being too acidic. So it would be interesting to see if there was any linkage in that. I want to take a break, and I have a couple other questions I want to ask you about this particular group of people. But this is really interesting. And then I want to talk about, you know, it sounds to me like there's a simple fix to this, but maybe I'm wrong. So I'm going to ask your advice. We're talking right now with Dr. Kalani Raphael. We're talking about the role of bicarbonate concentrations as a predictor of mortality in a healthy aging population. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Kalani Raphael, we're talking about the role of bicarbonate status as a predictor of mortality in healthy aging individuals. Very, very interesting perspective discussed in this research. So what about activity levels and or exercise? Were there any insights into linkages between bicarbonate levels and those who were the most active and even those who went to the gym maybe and exercised?
Yeah, we didn't really look at that. You know, our main question here was whether or not these bicarbonate levels associated with their long-term outcomes. It's really key, though, to, you know, figure out what these reasons are, you know,
right.
Why these bicarbonate levels are low. Is it because people are just less active? Is it their diet? Is it underlying and undiagnosed kidney problems or some sort of lung issue that's going on? You know, it's just such a fascinating area right now that I think we need to really further elucidate, you know, some of these mechanisms.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of, you know, bicarbonate levels and physical activity, you know, you bring up a good point in that we know that in people with kidney disease who develop low bicarbonate levels, and in this case, this is due to the metabolic acidosis problem due to impaired acid excretion by the kidney. And in at least animal models, we know that metabolic acidosis in the setting of kidney disease does lead to protein and muscle breakdown.
Right.
And so it's a really important, you know, potential problem in people who have kidney disease and probably in people who don't have kidney disease who also have low bicarbonate levels. You know, these effects on muscle function as well as their cardiorespiratory fitness.
You know, and the other thing is that people who suffer from lactic acidosis, they experience that lactate buildup in muscles so quickly that just walking sometimes feels like they just ran 10 miles. And so that may also cause them not to even engage in exercise. But I often wonder what the role of exercise is in this whole pH balancing act. The other thing that I wonder about is I've invested a lot of time understanding the digestive system, and I start to wonder, I think that as we get older, the esophageal sphincter breaches a little bit more often than not, and we actually end up inspiring the acids from our gut, even though that then it's not frank heartburn. It's not like frank GERD, where you have a burning sensation, but there's this constant leakage. And people say, you know, I don't know, once I turned 60, like my mouth always had a certain taste to it. And this could actually be indicative of that leakage. The medical community is starting to identify it as something called silent GERD. And because it's not frank heartburn. But I started to wonder what pro-inflammatory effects that has on the lungs, and also inspiring an acid gas. You know, what role does that play in blood gases as well? And just a thought that I just had while we were talking about it. So I thought I'd throw that out there. Any ideas?
You bring up an interesting question that I have not thought about myself, but it's something I'll think about.
Yeah, it's something that we're seeing more and more people in the population with this problem. You know, I read a study not too long ago that identified waist girth changes without an increase in body fat. And what they're talking about is distended stomachs because there's a high level of inflammation in people's guts today. You know, no one knows why for sure. But when we talk about the gut, we always think south. No one thinks north. You know, the esophagus, the throat, the soft palate at the top of the mouth, the nasal passages become inflamed. There's a lot going on north of the gut when you have gut problems that people just kind of ignore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, that acid reflux, we definitely know, you know, increases risk of esophageal cancer, and other, you know, esophageal dysmotility disorders. Yep.
And so you don't know if these people, you didn't even look at their renal function, right? You had no data on their renal function. So you don't even know if there was a linkage between renal function and bicarbonate levels, right?
No, we did. We had some data on their renal function. And what we were able to do was to control it, for their, to, control these analyses that we did for their baseline level of kidney function, which is absolutely critical because if you have impaired kidney disease, that could lead to your low bicarbonate levels, no question. But it's important to control for that to see if the association with the low bicarbonate level is above and beyond controlling for the, you know, the level of kidney function. I should mention that using this same data set, some of my colleagues also looked at the association between low bicarbonate levels and deterioration of kidney function over time in this same population. And what they found was, yes, low bicarbonate levels associated with a faster decline in their what we call glomerular filtration rate, which is an assessment of kidney function. So from this study, we've really looked at two very important health outcomes in generally healthy people that have abnormal bicarbonate levels. And we found strong associations with both mortality as well as decline in kidney function. And so, you know, I think this should, at the very least, you know, cause clinicians to pay attention to that bicarbonate a little bit more, even if somebody tends to be, you know, a fairly healthy individual.
Well, so when I go to my physician and I get my blood work done every year, which I'm about to do next week, you know, they look at renal function. I've never really paid a whole lot of attention. I pay attention to hepatic function. I pay attention to a bunch of other things that seem to be interesting to me. And as long as my kidneys are working right, you know, they're not in a danger zone, I don't worry about them. But do they check for bicarbonate levels as a regular panel in a renal test?
Yeah, it's on a standard renal panel. A renal panel, or sometimes it's called a chemistry panel or Chem-8, includes your electrolytes like sodium, potassium, chloride, and bicarbonate levels, as well as the two measures of kidney function, blood urea, nitrogen, and creatinine, and then it usually includes a glucose and a calcium level. The thing that's a little bit tricky for people when they're looking at their labs is some labs will call it bicarbonate, or they'll call it CO2 or carbon dioxide, or they'll, you know, abbreviate bicarbonate as HCO3 minus a negative sign. So, you know, I think most labs would report it as a CO2 level, and we use those two terms, CO2 and bicarbonate. When CO2 is measured on a chemistry panel, we use those two terms interchangeably.
I know that you said you had some diet information. Were you able to see a relationship between a protein load and bicarbonate levels in this particular population?
When you adjust for the amount of protein that these individuals were taking in their study, the amount of protein didn't really make a difference in the association with their mortality. But that's a little bit different from what we can recommend in terms of dietary changes, because we know that when you lower the amount of protein in your diet, that will raise your bicarbonate level. So even though in this study, when we looked at the association between bicarbonate levels and mortality and then adjusted for the amount of protein intake didn't matter, one strategy to increase bicarbonate levels could be to reduce dietary protein intake.
Yeah. Protein gets a bad rap when it comes to the kidneys. I don't know where it came from. Dr. Jose Antonio just published a great study. Now, obviously, this was an athletic group of people, but they were eating 3.4 grams of protein per kilo of body weight, and there was no changes from, and it was a double, it was a wash, what do they call it, a crossover? Crossover study? I mean, it showed no changes in renal function. I think that protein is hard to manage when the kidneys start going bad, but the kidneys may not start going bad because of high protein. Although you're right, that's part of the strategy of reducing the workload of the kidneys is to cut back on your protein, because that obviously plays a large role in how hard they have to work.
That's right. I mean, protein's effects on the kidney, you know, are severalfold. I mean, there are many reasons why people think that protein is bad for the kidneys. One is that it increases the acid load, it increases the phosphate load, etc. And we've looked at the nephrology community has done some studies looking at the effects of lowering protein intake on long-term outcomes in people with kidney disease, and it really didn't have a really strong benefit in folks. But, you know, what we do know is that a high protein intake does cause what we call hyperfiltration, meaning excess filtering done by the glomerulus, which is the little filters of the kidney. And we know that over a long period of time, hyperfiltration is bad. The best example of this is in people with diabetes. Very early on in someone with diabetes, they will have what we call hyperfiltration, where the kidneys are just filtering the blood at a very, very high rate. And it can actually trick the clinician when you look at their level of kidney function and it looks like surprisingly excellent, but over a period of time with that hyperfiltration, that will cause damage to those little filters of the kidney called the glomerulus.
Right.
And so with the high protein load that causes hyperfiltration, we're similarly worried about the effects of very high protein diets on kidney function in seemingly healthy people. Now, I think at this point, you know, lowering protein diet, protein intake in somebody with kidney disease is still a very, very hot topic in our field. But you touch on a very, very important subject in terms of protein intake and kidney disease risk.
Yeah. What I'd like to do is take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I've got the $64 million question for you. Okay,
Dr. Raphael?
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the linkage between the age that a woman goes through menopause and later onset of depression. Interesting discussion. Right now we're talking with Dr. Kalani Raphael. We're talking about the role of sodium, of bicarbonate levels. I'm sorry. I'm giving away my hand on the next question. So is this as simple? Okay, I supplement with sodium bicarbonate, but here's why. I train very intensely in the gym, and it acts as a buffer. It reduces hydrogen ion and lactate buildup, so I can get more reps out before the onset of lactate buildup and that burning feeling in my muscles. Mm-hmm. So I actually supplement 3 times a day with a teaspoon, which is probably between 3 and 4 grams of sodium bicarbonate, and water. And, is that what we need to start doing? If there is, I mean, while we're waiting for the shakeout of the rest of the unfolding science, is raising bicarbonate levels as simple as taking some sodium bicarbonate a few times a day?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, you bring up the issue about, you know, what do we do now and while we're waiting for more data to come on? I mean, in an ideal world, we would be able to, you know, get these answers to you quickly. We could, you know, do a randomized trial and give half of the subjects, you know, sodium bicarbonate and the other a placebo and see what happens to them over time. And that would really be the ideal way to go about this. I hesitate to offer blanket recommendations at this point because there are some potential problems with taking sodium bicarbonate. Those include possibly increasing the risk of kidney stones, maybe causing calcification in the vascular space, and some other potential side effects. So, you know, it's a little tricky for me to go about and, you know, provide any recommendations. But that being said, I think there are 3 ways, really, to increase your bicarbonate levels. We touched on one, which is to reduce the amount of protein intake. Now, I hesitate with that one as well because, you know, protein is a necessary macronutrient. You know, it's important for, you know, homeostasis of our muscles, and we know that with aging, muscle mass declines and muscle strength declines, and so I'm a little hesitant to tell people to, you know, reduce the protein in their diet.
Right.
You mentioned sodium bicarbonate. I think sodium bicarbonate is, well, we use sodium bicarbonate in people with kidney disease who have low bicarbonate levels. It comes in a capsule, about 650 milligrams per capsule in the United States, and we'll tend to give people, you know, between two and maybe 6 capsules a day, but only if they have kidney disease and they also have low bicarbonate levels. Now that is much lower than the amount that you're taking. You're taking about almost 5 grams actually of a teaspoon of sodium bicarbonate. 1 teaspoon is about 4,800 milligrams of sodium bicarbonate.
Okay.
But I think the safest way to increase your bicarbonate levels or to keep your bicarbonate levels in a normal range if you have a normal bicarbonate is fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Fruits and vegetables have potassium, which is bound to organic acids, the most common one being citric acid or citrate. And that citrate, when you eat it, gets converted by the liver into bicarbonate.
Oh.
And so it's a natural way to, you know, raise your bicarbonate without, you know, exposing yourself to the sodium, which may cause increases in blood pressure, but we're not really sure about that when sodium is accompanied by bicarbonate. Interestingly, the sodium that increases blood pressure occurs when sodium comes with chloride as the anion or the negative anion.
Right, right.
So, you know, probably the safest way to keep your bicarbonate levels in a healthy range or to raise your bicarbonate levels, if someone is interested in doing that, is to increase their diet, you know, increase fruits and vegetables in their diet, with one caveat, that is in people with kidney disease. Because in people with kidney disease, they have an impaired ability to get rid of potassium, and when you increase fruits and vegetables in your diet, that's going to increase your potassium intake, and that could cause high potassium levels, which could be fatal in some people. So if you're generally healthy, you don't have kidney disease, I think if you wanted to maintain normal bicarbonate levels, increasing fruits and vegetables in the diet, that's a really safe way to go. And we know that fruits and vegetables have many, many other health benefits.
So what about water? What role does water play in all of this? You know, there are a lot of people who don't even drink water. What role does that play in regulating bicarbonate levels, but also just overall kidney function and health?
Yeah, I think that's also, you know, a topic of debate, but I don't really think that there is very, very strong evidence that says everyone needs to drink 8 ounces, you know, 8
servings of 8 ounces of water.
Yeah. You know, some folks have looked at this, and, you know, the neat thing about the kidney is so well designed to deal with periods in your life where you may become dehydrated or, you know, you have excess water, that the kidney is such a smart organ that it knows what to do when it needs to do it. And so, in general, I tell people, look, if you're thirsty, drink water. And if you want to prevent yourself from becoming dehydrated, drink enough water so that you don't become thirsty. I think it's just that simple. I don't really recommend, you know, a set amount of water.
Okay. all right. And another question that I want to ask you, more from being part of the community of renal doctors out there. When you see these posts on Facebook or on the internet espousing, you know, do this, alkalize your body, the importance of alkalinity do you cringe? Do you think this is how I look at that sort of stuff. And tell me maybe I'm wrong. The body is so precise on managing pH that the idea that you could eat something and cause the pH in your body to change dramatically is really an impossibility, because if it was that easy to disrupt the pH of the body, more people would die from poor diets.
Absolutely. I mean, keeping a normal pH is central to normal health, normal cellular function, normal organ function. And, you know, if somebody were to take in tons and tons and tons of sodium bicarbonate over a long period of time, possibly they could, you know, increase their bicarbonate levels and cause their pH to go up, and that could be, you know, harmful. But, the kidney, again, is a very, very smart organ. It knows when it should hold to bicarbonate as much as possible. And if you take lots and lots of bicarbonate, if you have normal kidney function, your kidneys will get rid of that excess bicarbonate that the body doesn't need in order to keep the pH in a healthy range.
Right.
And that's sort of what we found in this study as well, was that, you know, even when these people's bicarbonate levels were low, that really just signifies some sort of problem with their overall acid-base state. But when you look at their actual pH, when their bicarbonate levels are low, they're still pretty darn normal, and that's because the body is so good at keeping pH in a normal range.
What do you want clinicians and lay people to take away from your research?
Yeah, I think for the clinician, I think they should really be paying attention to that bicarbonate level. I think a lot of times people just look at it and see if it's really low or really high, if it's severely abnormal. But, you know, these values that were low in this cohort were very subtly low. We're talking about 22 or lower. But most people had So a normal range in this study was between 23 and 28. Most people in this study had bicarbonate levels that were just below the normal range, like 20, 21, and 22. And I think most clinicians would probably ignore that because it's not severely abnormal. But I think people need to pay attention to those levels, even if they're a little bit low, and look at potential reasons why the bicarbonate level might be low. That could be a sign of underlying kidney disease or some sort of underlying lung disease, and possibly further working that up.
Yeah.
So that's for the clinician. For the person with a low bicarbonate level, I think at this point all we can really say is that, you know, this is identifying them as being at a higher risk of death. And to talk with your provider about, hey, why might my bicarbonate levels be low? And the provider could then possibly do some other sorts of testing. If somebody had low bicarbonate levels, again, going through the fruits and vegetables intake in the diet might be something that somebody should think about, and possibly supplementing in order to get those bicarbonate levels up into the normal range. But again, I really caution in people who may have underlying kidney disease because of the excess potassium load.
Yeah, and supplementing isn't what I'm doing. You're talking about a couple grams a day at best, and obviously what I'm using is actually a dose that is used by a lot of athletes
today. Yeah.
To buffer the blood. I don't do it every day. I only do it the days that I'm training. So I just do that the days I'm training, by the way.
Yeah, there's been a lot of very interesting research on, you know, a dose of, I believe it's 3 milliequivalents per kilogram of body weight. And that sounds about what you're doing right now.
Yeah. And it works. I got to tell you, when I don't do that before I train, especially like today I trained legs, when I start getting up into those higher rep ranges, my quads just start to burn feverishly. But if I remember to do my load, my loading of bicarbonate before I train, there's no pain at all. Now I don't know. There's a whole other discussion on what role the buildup of lactate plays in the actual structural changes in muscle when you undergo hypertrophy, which I may not be doing myself a good deed there, but clearly the pain is a lot less. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This is a very, very fascinating discussion.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for being excited about this.
Yeah, great stuff. Take care.
All right, thanks.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the onset of menopause and the onset of depression. Is there some information that we can gather that will help us understand when a woman goes through menopause earlier in life or later in life, how that affects the onset of depression later on in life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web. Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So, is there a connection between the age that you go through menopause and later depression? My next guest is Dr. Eleni, is it Petrido? Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to talk about a recent study that you were involved with that looked specifically at this. So let's start off with this. Tell the audience what questions you were trying to answer in this research.
First of all, we know that women have twice the risk to develop geriatric depression compared to their male counterparts. Even this statement prompted us to explore why we have this difference. There is also a strong evidence that female sex hormones, and when we are talking about female sex hormones, there are principally estrogens and progesterone. These are both Greek words. These two hormones have a direct effect on mood disorders. Mm-hmm. In particular, women are more vulnerable to depressive symptomatology at times of intense sex hormone fluctuations, when we have changes in our sex hormones. And these periods are the premenstrual, the postpartum, and the perimenopausal period of our reproductive life. We all know about women complaining before their menses. We have more difficulties when we give birth to the child and we have our blues, or even if there is a more severe postpartum depression and we should have medication. And it seems that perimenopausally, there are fluctuations of these hormones as well. Similarly, we have support from experimental research that estrogens and possibly the other hormone, progesterone, directly impact on the neurotransmitters of our brains. And they have, in this sense, a neuroprotective and antidepressive property. Mm-hmm. So we know from earlier studies that this period of menopausal transition has been related to other conditions that are considered non-psychiatric, as they are the increased risk of cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. as it is the cognitive decline with the advancement of age. In our study now, following your question, we aim to combine information from published studies across the world to show whether a similar trend applies to geriatric depression among women who are in the postmenopausal period. So if this hypothesis is correct when we conducted the analysis, we should focus on a group of women that should be appropriately tackled. So what this study has added to the literature is that if women are have a late menopause, then they are in a way protected, quoted, protected by their female hormones. Whereas if they have a very early menopause, before 40, a little after 40, then the risk is much stronger.
Interesting. Very interesting. You know, it makes perfect sense. And I really think that the medical orthodoxy has done women a great disservice by not doing more research, using lab animals that are female, that are paying more attention to menopause instead of just treating women like, oh, it's all in your head, take this antidepressant and go home, because there are so many. Estrogen plays so many, estradiol most specifically, plays so many roles in mood, in women, in anxiety in women, and in men. It's not just women. Men don't get this, but it's men too. When they put men on severe androgen deprivation therapy for prostate cancer, it is the lack of estrogen that leads to the lethargy, the loss of libido, and the depression, not the drop in testosterone. So estrogen plays this role in men and women, and it makes perfect sense. So looking at the a group that you looked at, so this was a meta-analysis or a review? What would you call this?
This is a meta-analysis, and this is a huge study. Actually, it is a very cumbersome duty, as we had to screen 12,000 published scientific articles in order to identify out of this literature the 14 relevant studies that examined the association between the age at menopause and duration of reproductive period and risk of depression in postmenopausal women. These studies included a total population of almost 68,000 postmenopausal women.
Wow.
Out of whom 8,500, more than 10%, suffered depression. So we have a huge subject, and we wanted to examine as much as possible what is the unconfounded effect of early menopause to the risk of postmenopausal depression, because there are many factors that may confound this association.
Uh-huh.
Let's say in our study population, there were women who smoked. Smoking affects the period, the time at which the menopause will occur.
Really? So does smoking bring on the onset of menopause earlier or later?
It is earlier, so it's right. Not protective. So this is another reason for why women should not smoke. Apart of getting smaller babies, they should not smoke to have a healthier skin and to have a later menopause.
Right.
Another factor that we wanted to clear up was the pre-existing depression. Because during our lives, we may get depression at a very early life. When I was trained as a pediatrician, then the medical fashion was that you cannot identify depression in childhood. Nowadays, we know that depression can be identified even in very young babies. So the etiology, the reasons, the cause for this depression, the pre-existing depression, is different than the depression who is first time diagnosed after menopause. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to get rid of that effect because pre-existing depression is a major determinant that you are going to have depression after menopause as well.
Right.
Another factor that we wanted to get rid of was the use of hormonal replacement therapy. That means that we should not have women in our study that were on artificial or not natural pills.
Right.
Hormonal replacement. So after we cleaned, in a way, our data set from these confounding effects, we went on and we gathered together the effect estimates of different studies to come up with the summary effect estimates to know how big the effect is. And the effect seems meaningless when you have menopause, let's say, and 58 years of age,
right,
instead of 60, is only 2%. But it becomes quite sizable when you have menopause at 40. And so we showed in our meta-analysis that when you have menopause at an age before 40, a natural menopause, not an a surgical menopause,
right,
then your risk is doubled. So this is a very, very sizable effect.
And so what was the late menopause threshold that seemed to provide a protective effect when women went through menopause in like 49, 50, 51, those kind of ages?
There is no threshold. There is a linear relation. So what we have found is that every 2 years of delay in menopause, you have a 2% reduction in your risk of having postmenopausal depression. So there is not a threshold that before this age is dangerous, after that age you are protected. What we say is that the later the menopause is, the better it is regarding your postmenopausal depression risk.
So a woman who goes through menopause at 55, that woman would end up having a
4%.
40%. No, 30%.
Four. 2. And the double of 2, 4% reduction of risk compared to a woman who had menopause at the age of 58.
Okay.
4 years later.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, but that's still good. That's still an amazing predictor. And I have to believe that if you are a woman who has difficult periods, depression, lethargy, very, very difficult periods, and you end up going through menopause at an early age, let's say 40, 39, 38, it's pretty probable that you will end up with a higher rate of depression. Would you agree with that?
Exactly,
your period.
Exactly. Yeah, this is exactly what you are saying. A woman who has a menopause before the age of 40 has twice the risk of getting depression compared to a woman who gets her menopause after 40.
But do you think that a woman who has very easy periods, she goes through life, no changes in mood, versus a woman who, when she has a period, she becomes depressed and sad and melancholy. The latter, to me, would speak to when you go through menopause, you're probably going to have depression issues because you were having that depression issue at that moment in your period when your hormones were getting all out of whack.
This is a very interesting hypothesis, but we have not tested this hypothesis. So this is something that has to be tested later on. In our study, we have not had that kind of information, so we could not examine, we could not explore whether having difficult periods during your reproductive life leads you to higher chances of getting depression.
Interesting.
It's the age that we have examined, because this is a pretty easy index, indirect
right.
index, but this is an index of your estrogen levels. The next study that we would like to conduct is, instead of having an indirect index of the level of your hormonal, of your female sex hormones, is to measure the hormones themselves in different time periods, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you have mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that would be exciting. I want to take a break. And I've got lots more questions. This is a really interesting discussion for the ladies in the audience. The relationship between when you go through menopause and the potential to develop depression later on in life is really an important discussion. We're talking with Dr. Eleni Petridou. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done. Done for your business.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Superhuman Radio will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible. But now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products. Whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products, you'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic grapefruit, and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about the age that a woman goes through menopause and the likelihood of developing depression later on in life. My guest is Dr. Eleni Petridou. I asked you if I was pronouncing your name properly, but there was a little a static on the line, so I'll ask you again. Am I pronouncing it properly?
Yeah, I replied that you have a Greek accent, so you pronounce that exactly the way it is. Thank you.
Okay, good, good. All right, so we know from hormone replacement therapy protocols that a woman has a certain window of opportunity to get on HRT before the HRT can actually backfire and be detrimental for her health. So that we know that women, when it comes to hormonal milieus, we know that women are much more sensitive to the introduction of hormones than men are, at least from some of that type of research. So my question to you is, why do you think when women go through menopause earlier, I have a theory, and I'll say it after you, but why do you think that when women go through menopause earlier, it seems to set them up for a higher probability of depression later in life than women who go through later?
We said in the beginning that both progesterone and estrogens, the female sex hormones, there is evidence from animals, from experimental studies, that they have neuroprotective actions.
Right.
That means that they have certain locus in the receptors in the brain, that they are attached to these receptors and they protect your brain. So we have not a theory, we have something from animals, we don't know how well it is fitted in human beings, that these hormones, they protect your brain as they protect our cardiovascular risk. So if we do not have this precious 2, 3, 10 years of late menopause, and we have the menopause earlier, then our brain is missing the cumulative effect of being exposed to estrogens or being exposed to progesterone. So this is what we think is the underlying mechanism for this higher risk of depression, but I cannot guarantee that this is the sole mechanism. I know, let's say, that the estrogen receptors in the brain, they are different from the estrogen receptors in our body, right, in the rest of our body. They are called estrogen receptor B in the brain, and they are called estrogen receptors A in our body. That is why with the hormonal replacement therapy treatment, we may give women through the pills or whatever else a treatment that it is not exactly our naturally produced sex hormones. Mm-hmm. They are slightly different, and in our body even a slight difference in the chemistry of a molecule may essentially change the functions, the way that this organ responds to different stimuli.
I have an uneducated opinion. I won't even say theory because that would be self-aggrandizing. I have an uneducated opinion on why I think this happens.
Tell us, this is very useful because most of the achievements in medicine have been triggered through uneducated opinions.
Okay.
Please let us know.
Okay, so here's my opinion. If it was a cumulative effect of the lack of protective value of these hormones, and we know, I've done shows on the protective effects of estrogen to reverse Parkinson's disease, estradiol more specifically. If it was just the cumulative effect of the longer duration of time that women are going without the protective effects of these hormones, then we would not see acute examples of depression like we do in postpartum depression or even women who have tough periods, because that would be acute. There wouldn't be enough time for it to accumulate, and that the onset of that depression is hard and heavy and real. So my opinion is the difference between abrupt cessation and what I want to call for the first time endogenous titration. And so I would submit from an evolutionary perspective, there's early menopause comes at a great Darwinian cost to women. And I think that women who go through early menopause have something else going on that the body perceives as a hostile environment, and they stop being able to have babies because the body, we know, you know, if a woman starves herself, she loses her period. She can't get pregnant because the body knows we can't bring children into a world where we have no food to even feed ourselves. The body is very instinctive from an evolutionary perspective that way. So I would submit that women who go through early menopause are going through early menopause because of some sort of assault or what's the word I'm looking for? Insult to their body. And their menopause is abrupt cessation of these hormones, where a woman who goes through menopause later in life, her menopause is gradual. It's almost like hormonal titration. So she's being taken down at different levels and being accustomed to that and then being accustomed. That would be my opinion, an uneducated opinion, albeit, but that's what I think it would be, as opposed to the cumulative breakdown of protective effects in the absence of these hormones.
Yeah, this is an alternative that we have to think of. Currently, however, most of the people who are exploring this issue, they think that the underlying mechanism of the postpartum depression is different from that of the earlier depression. In fact, the human body is very complex, and it seems that estrogens have, we lack our estrogens, this is detrimental for our vascular health. So they say that much of this depression, the postmenopausal, the geriatric depression, has an underlying threat in our vascular system. So it might be what you say, that our...
I can see your link now, because we just did a show on vascular changes in the brain and dementia. So I can see what you're saying. That's obviously, yes, it's much more complex than I would ever make it sound. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you, I've got more questions about this research. It's fascinating to me. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Eleni Petrudeau. We're talking about the age in which of which a woman goes through menopause may be a predictor of whether or not she will suffer from depression later on in life. And it looks like there is. The earlier you go through depression, the higher probability you will suffer from. I'm sorry, the earlier you go through menopause, the higher probability you will suffer from depression later on in life. So what was most interesting about this research when you started to look at these numbers that jumped out at you that made you think to yourself, wow, I did not expect to see that in this research?
First of all, this gradually increasing effect. As you said previously, we would thought that there is a threshold above which there is a protective effect, and below which there is an adverse effect. What, however, we would suggest now to our obstetricians and maybe to the audience of the women is to very carefully monitoring early signs of depression, so that especially for the small fraction of women with very premature menopause, these women are less than, are almost 1% of the total who have menopause before the 40 years of age. But these women are prime target for selective screening regarding postmenopausal symptoms. Depression, sadly, goes for lengthy periods unnoticed, and women don't really feel that they should address their needs to their physicians in order to assess them, and if they are depressed, to see what they are going how this depression should be treated. So these women are prime target for close mental health monitoring, and the aim is to identify the depressive symptomatology at an earlier stage and then more effectively tackle their treatment needs. A second message that we should like to pass to our colleagues is that, okay, the women who get early menopause very early are only 1% of the total. Mm-hmm. But as we have a high incidence of postmenopausal depression, I told you previously it is 12 to 15% among postmenopausal women, one in seven, so this is very high proportion, then we have among ourselves to advocate for the development of guidelines regarding specific time points for postmenopausal depression risk monitoring and subsequent referral for psychiatric management of those women who don't easily respond to treatment. Apart from the conventional antidepressant treatment, we could question ourselves whether use of currently available hormonal treatments may be a treatment option. And according to what we know up to now, the history of hormonal replacement treatment does not seem to modify the postmenopausal depression risk. Even women who were on hormonal replacement treatment, they did not actually have a lower level of risk.
Well, but the only thing that muddies the water about HRT is that often in these types of clinical trials, they only recognize HRT that is considered the standard of care today by the medical orthodoxy, at least here in the United States, which are conjugated equine estrogens, conjugated equine progestins. most physicians in the United States who begrudgingly prescribe hormones for their female patients as opposed to a myriad of antidepressants will prescribe monotherapies, estrogen only, progesterone only. It boggles the mind how you can watch a woman who is losing this milieu of hormones and go, well, we gave her estrogen, she didn't feel better, so let's put her on Lyrica. You know, it just boggles the mind. There should be so much more research being done on straightening out an appropriate approach to HRT, because a woman is becoming depressed as she goes through menopause, along with a lot of other changes in her body, because of the cessation of these hormones. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we should then give her SSRIs and anxiolytic drugs and a drug. I mean, this is why not look at these hormones more realistically? So let's stop talking about how dangerous they are and let's start working out the problems, because what a woman is low on is progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, DHEA. Replace those. Don't give her, you know, some antidepressant.
Right. This is a hot debate, and there are different practices that are followed in Europe and the United States. Yet the American Menopause Association and the FDA are following more strict guidelines on who is entitled to hormonal replacement therapy due to their adverse effects on women's health. Because these artificial drugs, they are not exactly the same as our natural hormones.
Yes, but there are drugs out there that are
used. Yes, there are, but there are pros and cons. Let's say one of the authors of this study, she's a gynecologist in Sweden, and mm-hmm. Sweden is very moderate country in what they are following. And she was discussing the difficulties that they have to define what kind of progesterone they are going to use for women who have their uterus intact.
Right.
So should there be the micronized progesterone that is similar and very, very close to the natural one, or should be other synthetic progestins that have higher cost and they are mostly used in the United States? But both of these hormones, they are, neither of them is perfect.
Right.
Let's say the ones used in the United States, and because of their higher cost, is the pharmaceutical industry that it is very interested to use them and so on. They increase our risk for metabolic syndrome. They have different similar actions to androgens. They cause themselves depression. They increase our breast cancer risk. So this is not an easy answer because we don't have exactly the same hormone that our body produces.
Mm-hmm.
All these alternatives have pros and cons. The other ones that are used, the micronized, that are used mostly in France and Germany,
right,
do have adverse effects as well. We are afraid that they may lead to addiction. There is suggestion to use them vaginally before going to sleep because they have different bioavailability in different bodies. So we have not yet found the perfect
But Dr. Petrodo, mm-hmm. in all respect to this position, which is the position that most doctors say, I as a layperson, I stand back and I think to myself, I hear doctors all the time telling me about the side effects and risks associated with hormones, whether they're micronized base hormones that are used in transdermal creams, which are the closest thing to our hormones, or they are synthesized or even rendered from horse urine. I always hear about how dangerous these hormones are. But then when I look at the drugs they're giving women to cope with the 7 problems they've developed when they go through menopause, you know, anxiety, high blood sugar, dyslipidemia, dyslipidemia is related to estrogen production. You get a woman's estrogen production, estrogen straightened out, and her dyslipidemia goes away. So when you look at those drugs and you look at the laundry list of side effects that are scary, I just don't understand how doctors can rationalize, well, hormones are dangerous, they have side effects, but the drugs that they're giving have terrible side effects too. Well, how does a doctor justify this side effect over that side effect?
You are absolutely right. And because I'm not a treating physician, I'm a physician, but I am mainly concentrated in research,
right.
I can really understand your concerns. But the physicians, on one hand, they are afraid of lawsuit as well.
Yeah.
We should have this in mind, because if a woman... everybody's different, and we more and more aim to targeted therapies. So for this kind of hormonal replacement, we should target. We should, I think, in the future, we should examine the genome and say yes, this woman should take this and this hormonal replacement therapy, whether the other woman should take the other. So they are in a way doing defensive medicine, because mm-hmm. there have been cases of thrombosis, myocardial infarction, strokes, and you see, we are learning. When they first used the hormonal replacement therapy, they were prescribing that to women beyond, far beyond their menopause period,
right.
even at 60, 67. And by that time, their vessels, their cardiovascular system was calcified already. Mm-hmm. So when they were prescribing the estrogens, which was the initial treatment, and the phenylestradiol, which is a very aggressive and intensive action hormone that upregulates 10 times the liver functions, then their vessels could not really resist this pressure of the hormone.
Right.
And they blew out. And we had the thrombosis and myocardial yeah. infarction. So we don't know everything from the beginning. And it is really a matter of how you strike the balance. So the physician should very carefully evaluate the woman, see how the quality of life changes, and then prescribe one or the other type of hormonal replacement therapy. And this is a big field for new pharmaceutical research, because what we would like to see in the years to come is to find those hormones that actually serve the needs of the women who are in the postmenopausal period without increasing the adverse effects. Hmm. I think that we should measure the progress that has been made.
Yes.
We started with estrogens alone. Then we added progesterone. Then we said we should have this specific drug and not the other. So it takes time, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But it has to be like that.
I want to take our last commercial break, and then I have two more questions for you. It's a really interesting discussion for the ladies in the audience. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
leave.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The discussion is the connection between the age you go through menopause and later depression. My guest is Dr. Eleni Petrudeau. So, Dr. Petrudeau, if I was your niece and I came to you and I said, you know, Aunt Eleni, what do I make of this research? What should I do if I go through early menopause?
I think that I will pass now your question to Dr. Georgakis, who is the first author, and he's a young and promising student of our school.
Sure, absolutely. Welcome.
Hello, good evening by me as well. I think that this study does not change anything with regards to what women should take care of. Women should take care of the usual factors that may affect their health, like smoking and all these, the bad dietary habits that may affect the risk for an early menopausal transition. And so what we would like to highlight is for women that have an early menopausal transition to be aware and have in mind the potential symptoms of depression that might help them in recognizing them early and going to a physician and seeking for help.
Right.
For example, they should be aware of hopelessness and loss of energy, fatigue, change of sleep habits and appetite habits, irritability and aggressiveness, and in case they think that something is going wrong with them around the menopause, it would be a good idea to visit a physician. This would really help them, and there is now the right therapy for them to cope with what they may have.
Right.
It's all up to that. To be aware of the danger.
Yeah. If you start noticing that you're showing the signs of depression and you realize you went through menopause at 38 years old, there's a linkage there. Be prepared for it.
Exactly.
And then seek out help. From a physician that is sympathetic to your cause and offers you different approaches to dealing with your depression.
And get rid of the stigma. I don't know how the situation is among younger generation women in the United States, but mental health preservation is something that people like to think that they are perfect. They don't have anything to worry about. They don't. They should not, go to the physician and have their depression discovered, unveiled in a way.
Right.
They think that they can pass by from depression, even with cinnamon. This is lay people's treatments for getting around with depression.
Cinnamon?
Yes, even cinnamon. These are, myths and realities.
No wonder why I'm so happy, Dr. Petrodeau. I have cinnamon every morning on my oatmeal.
Oh, yeah, you see. In fact, we are far from reaching the ideal study. We would like to see if there were funding in different new studies to have prospective studies and control also for the confounding effects of other factors that have not been taken so far into account because we have not been aware of. It seems that leading a stressful life, going through the periods of financial crisis, as it is nowadays in most parts of Europe, less in the United States, having dysfunctioning relations in your work or with your peers and your family members, having early life adverse exposures and being a disadvantaged person of lower socioeconomic status or having or being maltreated during childhood, this may be different factors that may impact on the age of your menopause. So the more and more we are looking as pediatricians as the early determinants of later events in our life, and menopause is considered such an event that it is under the influence of many stressful life events.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? For all we know, the thing that's causing early menopause may be what's setting a woman up for depression. I don't know why I keep coming back to thinking about sleep. Today in the United States, very few people think sleep is important. They stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching television. You know, they sit all day at work, sit in the car, sit. There's very little activity, and I have to believe that there was a study done by the Madonna del Grazie Institute on Menopause in Rome, Italy, about 10 years ago that I talked about on the show, where they gave women who had gone through menopause and they had to have not had a period for a minimum of 1 year, and they gave them melatonin and had them keep a sleep diary. You know what the study I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're right.
It's never been reproduced, unfortunately. Yeah. But I had the opportunity to speak to one of the authors. He didn't want to come on the show because he said his Italian accent was too strong. But, you know, one of the things that I discovered from talking to him was that these women were going to sleep earlier. So they were taking he had everybody taking their melatonin at the same time at sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they basically did was resynchronize their circadian rhythm, and they probably corrected a bunch of sleep issues they had. And many of the women developed their periods again in that study.
Yeah, you are right. And sleep deprivation is one of the main issues in the nowadays societies. And I think that in the United States, you have one of the smaller, more tiny portions of sleep. It's associated also depression with sleep apnea and obesity, because obesity is another epidemic,
right.
Is strongly associated with sleep apnea. So it seems that little by little we are putting the puzzle pieces together to see what is really that makes us happy, what is really a healthy way of living. So it's in a way getting less stress, getting more sleep, and not only eating, special diets or whatever.
Right. Dr. Petrodeau, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. And again, your guest, your colleague's name again was?
Marios Georgakis, Marios Georgakis. He is a very prominent scientist in Greece for his age.
Okay.
It was the second article that he co-authored, and this article got published in JAMA Psychiatry, which is one of the most respected studies. So thank you very much. Forgive our Greek accent, but we are courageous, so we accepted to be in your show.
Thank you so much for being on. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. And that is actually the end of Superhuman Radio. We have lots of great shows planned all week long. Hope that you can tune in. And if you can't tune in live, of course, catch the podcast. Share the podcast with your friends. Tell people about the show. We want to build the audience. Always trying to build the audience. You know what? The more people who get the message about how to achieve greater health and longevity, the greater the country that you live in will be. All right, we'll see you by tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Not all so-called